Morning.
Whoa, look at that. Is that okay there? There it is. It seems all right. Yeah. Well, Christy and I, we have made it a priority in our family to eat dinner together. So as we grew up, we both enjoyed doing this with our families, and so we thought to ourselves, we should probably try to keep this tradition alive in our family. But that doesn't mean that this is always easy for us to do, and it also doesn't mean that it's always enjoyable for us to do together. Oftentimes, there's at least one, two, five times a week that we set a plate of good food in front of our children, and what they respond to us with is, "Oh, I don't like this." There's usually this flailing of their arms, always this. Then they melt and their body becomes this puddle in the chair. The good food in front of them is rejected, and the reason for that rejection is because they would rather have something else. Our passage this morning has rejection in it too. The good and innocent king is placed before the Jews, but they reject Jesus as their king and they give their allegiance to a different king. The main point that I want you to remember this morning is the innocent king will die for guilty people. The innocent king will die for guilty people. The passage is divided into three not guilty verdicts and then the response to those verdicts. The first half of chapter 19 is a continuation of Jesus' trial and the questioning with Pilate. And so the Jews have brought Jesus to Pilate because of his claim to be a king, and they know that it's only Pilate who has the authority to execute people. Pilate, however, says that he does not want to execute Jesus because he has found no guilt in him. He says this in chapter 18, verse 38, but the Jews say that they want Barabbas instead. It's in response to this rejection and wanting Barabbas that Pilate has Jesus flogged. And the soldiers come and they put a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe around him. And the soldiers, they sit down and they mock Jesus. They say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate doesn't believe that Jesus is a king who poses any sort of threat to the Roman Empire or any sort of threat to Caesar. And so he tells the Jews again that he finds no guilt in him. He brings him out beaten and with a crown and a robe. And he says, "Look at this man that you said is a king and a threat to us. He is nothing and he has no guilt." Pilate did this to hopefully appease the Jews there, helping them to see that Jesus is not a threat, he is not deserving of death. The good and innocent king was placed before them, but they didn't want him. They shouted out again, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The people could see with their own eyes that Jesus was not going to overthrow the Romans with power and bring a war or more oppression on them, but they still rejected him, shouting for him to be crucified. In verse 6, we see Jesus give the second, we see Pilate give the second not guilty verdict. He tells the Jews, "If you don't like how I'm going about my job or if I'm going about my duties, then why don't you just take him yourselves and crucify him? I, however, am not going to because I find no guilt in him." The Jews respond by bringing another tactic to get Pilate to give in to their will. They appeal to their own law. And so a Roman prefect or a ruler had a responsibility to keep the peace with Rome's rules, but also had a responsibility to keep the peace by maintaining the local law of the people that he ruled over. The Jews know this, and so they say that Jesus should die because he has made himself the Son of God. This is breaking the law in Leviticus 24:16, where they're saying that Jesus has blasphemed the name of the Lord, and the punishment for this is death. And so Pilate hears this statement, and he is very afraid. And the reason for that is because During this time, it was very common for Greeks and Romans to think that pagan gods would have children with humans, creating these sons of God. And so Pilate thinks that he will have some sort of retribution from God, because after all, he has just taken God's son and flogged him and mocked him. And so he wants to know where Jesus is from. Who is he? But Jesus doesn't answer him. And so Pilate reminds him, "Don't you understand that I have the authority to either release you or to crucify you, and you're not going to say anything back to me?" But it's at this point that Jesus speaks in our passage. He reminds Pilate that the only reason that he has any of this authority to release or to crucify is because it has been given to him from above. Jesus knows that God is sovereign over all things, including the sinful actions of Pilate and Caiaphas. Pilate and Caiaphas, they are guilty of sin. Pilate is guilty because he didn't render justice to an innocent man. And Caiaphas is guilty because he accused an innocent man and brought him before the authorities to be killed. Justice is a very important thing for God and for his people. God is all about justice in everything that he does, and God will not let the guilty go unpunished. He stands up for the innocent, and he stands up for the oppressed. And so as God's people, we are called to stand up for the innocent, even if it costs us our reputation or our standing. But when we do not live up to this calling, we can remember that we have an innocent king who died for those who are guilty of sin. And so Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent of the charges that were brought before him, and he had no guilt in him. And so because of this, he tries to release Jesus for a third time. But the Jews would have none of it. They make their will known to Pilate by saying that he is no friend of Caesar if he releases a man who makes himself to be a king. And so Pilate's done with this battle. He says, "It's not worth it anymore." And he just goes to appease the Jewish crowd. He gives in to their demands. He knows that his status before Rome will suffer if he cannot keep the peace. And so he brings Jesus out to the judgment seat and tells the Jews, "Behold, your king." And they cry out, "Away with him! We have no king but Caesar." This is the ultimate rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. The Jews felt that Jesus posed a threat to the nation of Israel because he claimed to be a king. They believed that Rome would crack down militarily and it might bring an end to their ability to worship God in the temple. The whole goal that they've been working towards is to keep what they have in place. But by saying this thing, this one statement, the chief priests are the ones that are renouncing their allegiance to God, and they give their allegiance to the kings of this world. Jesus was brought before the Jews multiple times in these verses, and he was presented to them as an innocent king who was good. But the Jews rejected him because they wanted something else. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But each of us today has rejected Jesus at some point in our lives. Whether it was before we believed the gospel and living a life of sin, or after we believed and we chose to live for the things of this world instead of for Christ. We in these pews have shouted with our words or with our actions that we didn't or we don't want Jesus to be our king. You have shouted, "Away with him. I don't want him. I want that instead." And so how have you rejected Jesus and his ways lately? How have you chosen to live for the kings or the things of this world? How have you chosen to live for what you wanted instead of living for Jesus as your king? So we must admit that we are all guilty of this in some way or another. But we also need to remember equally or even in a greater way that Jesus is the innocent king who died for guilty people like us and others. Jesus had no guilt, and he did not deserve to die for our sins. It was for our sake that God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so when you feel guilty like this, come to Christ, knowing that he is the innocent King who died for you. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your sovereignty over all things, even the actions of sinful people. Thank you for the obedience of Christ to your will to die for the sins of the guilty. Father, help us as your people to remember that this week, especially tomorrow on Good Friday. Help us to repent of our sins and come to Christ to receive your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.